Well, part two of Seven Wonders of Chanting, just a quick review. This is the first verse of Shikshastakam, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is presenting the glories, some of the glories of the chanting of the holy name. And we were discussing earlier this morning the sequence of this presentation, Chaita Darpana Marjanam, the Sankirtan, the chanting of Krishna's holy name, cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and years and years and lifetimes and too much involvement in the material energy. And the holy name, like a commercial, stronger than dirt, takes away, the potency is there to take away all the accumulated contamination of heart down to the very core, the root cause of our being in the material world, envy of Krishna. Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, the blazing fire of material existence is extinguished. That is, even we're in this contaminated atmosphere with tendencies, strong tendencies for conditional life, Krishna, through his holy name, can take away that residual tendency. We still have to say yes, although Krishna can take away anyway, take away the facility of material enjoyment. But the spirit to become, to continue, Prabhupada called it dog obstinacy. Or the Jarasandha-like determination. I must be the controller. Get defeated. I must be the controller. I must be the enjoyer. I must take Krishna's position, be defeated, and continue obstinately. That such a tendency can be taken by the mercy of the holy name, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. And Shreya, Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, the white lotus of good fortune, by the cooling and soothing rays of the holy name, like moonshine, is cooling and soothing. Did you notice last night, full moon? Yeah, very, very strong. The white lotus of good fortune, the heart opens to receive the attractiveness of the all-attractive Krishna. And the tendency, propensity, dormant propensity for serving Krishna with love awakens. Okay, so preparing us for Krishna's association. So now, vidyavadho jivanam, the vidya is knowledge or education, and vadhu is wife, and jivanam, living entity, or literally this is the life of the wife of education or knowledge. So the wife is married to the husband, otherwise there's no meaning to wife. So that's the soul. And the soul has an intrinsic property of knowledge, but that knowledge is covered. So when bhakti awakens, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam, and it starts expanding, then the dormant propensity of the soul, the dormant quality of the soul, to be situated in knowledge, awakens. So the wife, the life of the wife of education becomes manifest. The Bhagavatam speaks of it in this way. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janiyati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam Ahaitukam. Causelessly, knowledge and detachment follow. Who do they follow? They follow behind bhakti. Prabhupada gives this example. Just like a queen who is very faithful to the king supplies the queen. Many different terminologies, but ladies in waiting or attendants. And as the queen moves about the palace here and there, the attendants of the queen, they move, scurry behind her here and there, wherever she goes. But the queen is not interested in the services the attendants wish to give her. She's interested in one thing, the king. That's the queen. And that's bhakti. So when bhakti becomes awakened, Shreya, Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam, here comes the attendant. Vidya, knowledge. There's a nice verse amongst many nice verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Sarva Bhuma Bhattacharya composed a number of verses in glorification of Lord Chaitanya, and one of them still stands as one of the greatest, if not some persons say the greatest, appropriate glorification of Lord Chaitanya, written by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. And in that prayer or glorification, Vairagya Vidya is how it starts. Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartam Ekam Purushak Puranam. So Lord Chaitanya came to give the message of Vairagya Vidya. Rupa Goswami modified that. Yukta Vairagya is Vairagya Vidya. So Yukta Vairagya means engaging things that are in relation to Hari, in the service of Hari. That's Rupa Goswami's teaching. Real detachment, complete detachment, is engaging the senses with objects of the senses in the service of the master of the senses. Incomplete is withdrawing the senses or calling it false or giving up those things that aren't ours to begin with to give up. Incomplete or Palgo Vairagya. This is Rupa Goswami's teaching is Yukta Vairagya or Vairagya Vidya. Knowing that everything is in relation to Krishna, having this complete sense of education, using all resources in Krishna's service. This is the life of devotion. So it doesn't matter what one's position is. One may be a renunciate and be Krishna conscious, and one may be involved in family life and be Krishna conscious. And the perfection is to be Krishna conscious. There are two very similar songs by our Vaishnava acharyas, Grihe Tako Vani Tako. Whether one is a grahasta or living in the forest, a renunciate, Sada Hari Bolo Tako. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your position is, chant Hare Krishna. Bolo Hari Dako. And Narottam Das Thakur, similarly, of course, in our line of succession, Narottam Das Thakur came earlier. Oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is endorsing or supporting or reclaiming, reacclaiming, whatever your position is. The position of transcendental knowledge is one who glorifies the holy name. And when one is situated properly in grihastha life or renounced life, glorifying the holy name, that person is the worthy person of association. Just hearing Prabhupada speak about this in a morning walk. Whoever that person is who is chanting Krishna's name, that's good association. One who is sincerely calling out Krishna's association, make that your person, your friend, and serve that person. And through that association, vidya vadhu jivanam, through the association with the holy name, transcendental knowledge will awaken. There's another nice story or historical event in our ISKCON lore. When Prabhupada gave his first public address in America, it was in Tompkins Square Park. So I'll make a shorter version of a nice long story. He had been speaking at 26 Second Avenue and having kirtan and, of course, prasadam. And after some time of kirtan, lecture, and prasadam, the devotees, Brahmananda, said, Swamiji, shouldn't we take this out to the public? It's something reminiscent of the kirtan at Shiva's Anga. The brahmanas participated and the public couldn't enter because they were experiencing and exhibiting symptoms of love of God that worldly people just wouldn't understand. So they weren't included. But at a certain point, they went into the public. The circumstance then was Chankazi stopping the chanting of the holy name, ordering it, you stop, or else. So in defiance, the civil disobedience movement began long ago. Lord Chaitanya, he said, oh, very well. Well, let's go in the public and chant the holy name. Thousands within one day. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still very young, 1920, Prabhupada said. Thousands. He had great influence because that's one of the opulences of the personality of Godhead. Thousands in an overnight notice came and joined his Sankirtan, and out into the public they went. So the first time Srila Prabhupada went into the public for chanting, when after the kirtan was completed, 2 hours worth of chanting and a nice, robust assembly of people, Prabhupada stood up, that famous pose with his hands to his waist, with that church in the background and the oak tree there, and everybody wondering expectantly, what's he going to say? He said, I've not come to teach you something new. I've come to remind you of that which you have forgotten. Cool, huh? Knowledge is already there with the soul, but it's covered, and through awakening of bhakti that becomes uncovered, it awakens. And that's the wife of the enlightened soul. It's knowledge. The life of the wife of knowledge. So here's the translation. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami showing by example their propensity for exhibiting transcendental knowledge to the world simply in service for the benefit of all. So here's this nice essence rendering of that phrase. A result of acquiring devotion, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, is that the devotee becomes illuminated with spiritual knowledge. Further chanting matures that knowledge into realization, which in time reveals the devotee's original position in one of the five relationships with Krishna. Keep chanting. Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. Knowledge becomes, realization becomes entering into our relationship with Krishna. Same thing, exactly same thing as Lord Brahma, the original preceptor of our disciplic succession. He was given his mantra, his Gayatri mantra. And from chanting of that Gayatri mantra, he realized his identity. First, his identity as, like we were discussing the first evening, the inner self, the real person who we really are, not the other thing, the covering and the upadhi and the mind's stuff, but who he really was. And then that further matured into realization of his eternal relationship, his rasa with Krishna, the eternal maidservant of Krishna. His rasa. Our Lord Brahma, according to Sri Brahma Samhita, has that constitutional rasa. And we each have our constitutional rasa, which is, we don't know. But it's there. It's already there. Like knowledge is already there. It's dormant. So continue chanting faithfully, sincerely. And the potency of the holy... So the potency of the holy name is such that just continue chanting. And that means serving, the service that flows from that chanting. The service that flows from that chanting in pure Krishna consciousness in time, supported by the chanting, is going to disclose what our eternal rasa is. Just keep chanting. Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. So what's next after that? Ananda Ambodhi Vardhanam. Ananda is bliss and Ambodhi is ocean and Vardhanam, increasing. Ananda Ambodhi Vardhanam. The natural condition of the soul, along with constitutionally being Krishna's servant, is this, so sat, chit, and then ananda. So the ananda is realized in our position as a servant, constitutionally situated, illumined in knowledge. There's this natural state, not the worldly pursuit of I want, I get, I try to enjoy. Not that one. But of the soul position. We have to let go of the other stuff to get the ananda position. So anandam, anandam buddhi, the ocean of bliss is increased. What's an ocean that increases? It's a flood. A flood. Not just an ocean. And it keeps increasing, keeps chanting. Keeps increasing and increasing and increasing. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the metaphor is used that Lord Chaitanya, the flood of love of God, acted like water in the rice paddy fields. That is, no weeds could grow. Part of the way, part of the reason for flooding the rice fields is they don't have to do any weeding. Because with the water, only the rice part grows and everything else doesn't grow because it's flooded. So flooding our heart with love for Krishna, the happiness, the ananda, where's the other happiness, the so-called attraction for worldly happiness? It doesn't manifest. There's no struggle anymore. Struggle with the mind and senses, it's gone. Anandam buddhivardhanam. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. Painting of the soul being pulled from the ocean of material existence by the mercy of Krishna. Experiencing the real happiness, not just relief from the struggle. So this is a sequence. As much as the heart is relieved from unwanted habits, Chetudarpana Marjanam, to that degree we become devoted to Krishna. Fast forward, Shreya, Kairava Chandrika. As much as devotion is firmly fixed in our hearts, to that degree we require realized knowledge. And as much as the heart is illumined by both devotion and knowledge, to that degree we taste spiritual happiness. In this way, the ocean of bliss swells. Keep chanting. Keep chanting. Tomorrow we'll be in that mode. Keep chanting. Anandam buddhivardhanam. And pratipadam. Purna amrita asvadanam. Pratipadam. With each step, pratipadam. Even little small steps. Pratikshana. Even a little small padam. Every little step. What a nice meditation. Walk to the temple. And as you're walking to the temple, chanting Krishna's name, the full nectar, as you're walking toward Krishna, the full nectar is awaiting you. Just keep moving. Pratipadam. Purna amrita. Full nectar. Asvadanam. One is given that taste. In the sequence of the stages of bhakti, taste, ruchi, comes after one becomes steady, nishtha. So from steadiness in time, some real taste. It's awaiting. Keep making step by step by step. And when you're in those steps, in that stage, you don't want to stop. Continuous chanting. Kirtaniya Sadahari. So, it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Fact. The soul wants happiness. Is there anybody that you know that doesn't want happiness? I mean, we behave in ways that seem to speak that we don't want happiness, we want misery, but we want happiness, we're just misguided. Every soul wants that position. Happiness that, as Prabhupada describes, happiness that's not interrupted by unhappiness, continual happiness that's ever increasing. We're all hankering for that. And it's natural because it's natural for the soul. When the soul becomes properly situated in attentive chanting, pratipadam purnamritasvadanam, it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Prabhupada certainly looks very happy. Little Prabhupada story. One of the early, there weren't, in the very beginning, there weren't so many photographs of Prabhupada. In course of time, they started proliferating. But one of the early photographs of Prabhupada was taken in that little courtyard behind the 26th Second Avenue storefront. You walk across a little courtyard, and Then there was some additional apartments, very tall apartment building. And Prabhupada was over there, you know, a few flights up and to the left. So one day he was seated outside in that little courtyard and somebody took a photograph. And it was circulated, a photograph of Prabhupada. So I wasn't there for this, but I was told by those who were there. One fine day, one girl in the audience asked Prabhupada, "I've seen this photograph of you and you look very unhappy. But I thought, you know, spiritual people are supposed to be happy." And Prabhupada's immediate reply was, "I remember that moment. It was a moment of ecstasy." She didn't know what to say. So whether the face looks like this, like a radiant sun joyfully spreading its rays of happiness, or sometimes Prabhupada looked very grave, but in contemplation upon Krishna, in his deep within his heart, a joy, a transcendental joy at every moment. Pratipadam Purna Amrita Asvadanam. When the devotee finally, when devotees finally achieve the perfection of chanting, they taste the full nectar of loving devotion to Krishna. A nectar that makes the bliss of liberation seem insignificant. In common conceptions of spirituality, discussed it a little bit in the morning class yesterday, there's heaven and there's liberation or salvation. But even the impersonalists or Buddhists, what's their idea? Their idea is make everything zero. Literally, make everything zero. In fact, they say, actually everything is zero. I mean, ponder on that one for a moment. Everything is zero. Nothing exists. Existentialists are close behind, just mental. Nothing is real. And people seem to go through that. Remember when some Beatles song was like that. Nothing is real. Nothing is real. What's real? Nothing. Nothingness is real. Where did you come from and where you're going to and where are you now? Nowhere. And that's the highest realization. I don't know if I want to go there. Because happiness is something that's natural. And so what's the happiness of nowhere? But many people seek it. Prabhupada explained, it's like banging your head against a wall and then stopping. Brahmananda. Or I've given this example before, living in New York. So many of you have heard this description. Right in almost underneath the temple, on the street, on the, below the sidewalk of the temple, in front of the temple, is the A train. And people that are visiting Brooklyn Temple and are from California, when they hear the A train going through, they think it's an earthquake. Because the whole building shakes. Oh my God, it's an earthquake. No, it's the A train. But the cars don't know the difference between an earthquake and an A train, and the cars that have car alarms, the car alarms go off. And, you know, they're really obnoxious sounds. I don't know how to imitate them properly. And then another one has another melody, and just really loud. And I think there's a law against using car alarms on our street now, because it would just go on and on and on for till somebody came out for their lunch break and would turn off their car alarms. And then it was Brahmananda. Ah. Relief. Cessation of the misery of the material vibration or material existence, that's Brahmananda. Entering into that state of neutrality. Because I visit China, the Chinese people, they know, if they know something about religion, it's about Buddhism. And then when they hear that Buddha is an avatar of Krishna, they ask, what's the destination of those who are Buddhists? Do they go to Vaikuntha? Does Buddha have a Vaikuntha planet? I mean, that's one of the questions they ask. And I've been researching it. There's not any clear answer about, does Buddha have a Vaikuntha planet? It doesn't appear that there's a Vaikuntha planet. But what there is indication from Prabhupada's teaching is their destination. And other scriptural writings. There is a place that's not in the material world and not in the spiritual world. Like the buffer between the material world and the spiritual world. One of the names given for that is the river Viraja. And that's where the Buddhists go. They don't go to the spiritual world. They don't go to the Vaikuntha realm and the Vaikuntha planet where Lord Buddha resides, because that requires devotion to go to the spiritual world. So they don't go to the spiritual world. But by negation, they're not in the material world either. They're nowhere. They're in between the spiritual and the material world. Just what they wanted. Krishna's expert, huh? Yayatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajam yaham. They're neither here nor there. They're nowhere. They're nothing, nowhere. But they're actually not nothing, nowhere. They're spirit souls that are pretending to be something that they're not. Not spirit soul. And there's no God. That's miserable. That's miserable. That's nirvana. That's what it means. So, pratipadam purnamritasvadanam, experiencing the amrita, the purna amrita, of the soul, innate within the soul, in a relationship with Krishna. That happiness makes the happiness of liberation seem insignificant. So many verses, the verses of the happiness of Brahman or Brahman realization, Brahmananda, is as significant as the water in a hoof print of a calf. So there's some water maybe, if it rains and there's a calf's hoof print, something. The happiness of there's no more material suffering. Negation. That much water compared to an ocean. Ananda Ambudi. Asvadanam, an ever-expanding ocean of happiness. So, compared to that, the attraction of liberation for all of those who say, in the ultimate analysis, it's all one. We've all heard that one. It's very common. It's all one. The happiness of that is insignificant in comparison to the happiness that comes from those who, with proper consciousness, chant the holy name. One can also chant the holy name in the wrong consciousness, in an offensive mood or thinking, through chanting Hare Krishna, I'll become one with the Supreme. I'll just share this a little bit. Before I met Hare Krishna devotees, at the university that I was attending, there was, I won't mention his name, somebody that was an impersonalist, and he was doing the college circuit and he was chanting Hare Krishna. And it was that really slow drone kind of, you know, no melody chanting, but, you know, chanting. And it was charming. It was enchanting chanting. Because I didn't know the difference between that and devotional chanting. And the speaker, his message was, listen attentively and try to become one with the chant. I thought, wow, that's mystical, become one with the chant. Then he kept repeating it, become one with the chant, become one with the chant. Then eventually he explained what he meant by that. He said, in the beginning, there's you and the chant. But then when you really become accomplished in chanting, there's just the chant. And at that point, I turned and walked, and I said, this guy's ridiculous. What he's saying is you become Krishna. That's what he's saying. And forget it, man. Poor Krishna. Krishna comes down to my position. And I'm going to become Krishna? Forget it. I don't know, you know, what the right answer is, but I know this isn't the right answer. I'm leaving this program. I just inherently, you know, didn't like, I hadn't read Prabhupada's books yet. It just didn't connect at all. Krishna saved me. So there are persons that chant. They chant for material. They think it's karma kanda, and you know, you're going to get piety and you're going to go to heaven and, you know, get an upgrade. And some persons chant thinking you're going to become Krishna or become one with the Supreme. Because really, there isn't Krishna, it's the impersonal within Krishna. And you become one with that by chanting. So there's misconceptions. And that way, the full nectar isn't going to be attained. Therefore, one needs proper guidance. Or you need proper sambandhagyan. You need not only knowledge, but you need the guidance of how to apply that knowledge. Lord Chaitanya and the followers of Lord Chaitanya, but starts with Lord Chaitanya. He's giving, this is our roadmap or our GPS. This is, it's like, here's your father, like the story Prabhupada tells. Some young man is told, "Wait, before your father died, he gave me a treasure map. Instead of giving an inheritance, he buried the treasure. And here's the map to get the treasure." Yay, I want to get treasure. But so this is Lord Chaitanya's treasure map. Or how to chant the holy name. And it's not, I'll repeat something I said briefly at the beginning, it's not just information. Information, information, information. It's not information, but no transformation. It's transformation if you apply it properly. This is a meditation on the holy name and the mood of the heart, as we discussed this morning, feeling gratitude by recognizing this is what the holy name is giving me. This is what Lord Chaitanya is giving me through the holy name. So whatever your position, chant Krishna's name in a proper mood, guided by, so the mood is these items, these seven. And the last, sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. Sarvatma snapanam is kind of, it's appropriate, it's all around summary. For everyone, sarva. Atma snapanam. Snapanam means bathing. And atma snapanam is bathing of the soul. Sarva atma snapanam. All souls, squeaky clean. Completely pure. And all of the above. Pure means ananda. Pure means knowledge. Pure means good fortune. Pure means all of those residual tendencies gone. Pure means the contamination that brought us to the material world to begin with. It's gone. Cut away the underbrush. Grow the creeper of bhakti in its fullness. Sarvatma snapanam. Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. It gives a cooling effect to everyone. And the paraphrase or the essence translation of this, chanting frees conditioned souls of the illusion of identifying themselves with their body and mind and establishes them in their cleansed and cooling reality, that they are eternal spiritual entities, like, you know, the starting point and the ending point. You can't go forward in spiritual life holding on to a material conception. Say it in reverse. You have to let go of the material conception in order to enter into spiritual life. And the chanting of the whole, it's not an intellectual exercise. It's a transformational experience that the holy name has the potency to bring about. Sarvatma snapanam. And of course, guided by teachings and teachers. And thus this picture. Srila Prabhupada, look at how happy. Even he's hiding behind the book. Not hiding, he's placing the book to his forehead. But he's radiating happiness. This is when Macmillan previously had printed a soft cover abridged edition of Bhagavad Gita. And that was major because they were a major publishing house, Macmillan. And then so many copies were sold, they finally agreed, an unabridged, full, hardcover edition. And there it is. And Prabhupada's receiving it. And it's not just for him, oh, now I'm an accomplished literateur. It's so many people will, it's a Macmillan publication, hardcover, and millions and millions and millions of copies are going out. Joy to our founder Acharya that at least the opportunity for so many conditioned souls will be given. So the chanting of the holy name and the proper guidance of their activity through the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, and everything is there. The whole package of souls getting relief from their bondage of material existence, it's all there. So, Sarvatma Snapanam. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So, again, referring to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he wrote about this, doing full circle from where we began in the morning. It's a meditation that you are, if you wish, you can internalize it. Try it. If you, somewhere in the morning, tomorrow's 64 round day, you want Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And if your attention goes to these verses, even just take one of them, or sequentially the next one and the next one. They're very powerful. You'll feel the mercy of Lord Chaitanya even more coming through the chanting of the holy name. The heart is being cleansed. Chaita Darpan, of all the dust accumulated for years and lifetimes together, let me get closer to finishing off this repeated cycle of birth and death and coming instead to the real position of the soul. Not the enjoyer of matter, but the servant of Krishna. And so forth. Chaita Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kaira. So, stay with one of them as a meditation. It will support your receiving the fullness of the holy name step by step, sequentially. But within this first verse, it takes you right to Krishna Prema. Just within one verse. And then there's the rest of Shikshastakam. Hare Any comments or questions? Yes, Jai Jagannath? Do we have the portable mic? Who knows where is the portable mic? Nobody knows. So just speak loudly.
Maharaj, this is kind of again echoing your class this morning. My question last night, the last part of your discussion just now, you was on discussing the importance of chanting with proper conception.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get a certain type of reciprocation according to our conception. The Buddha's got the reciprocation.
Yeah.
I'm joking. So it's kind of going back to my question about the Sankalpa question I had yesterday. Just another turn topic.
Okay, good.
If there should be lack of clarity on the conception about the goal and the proper means of getting there, then it seems that our chanting would be somewhat
less effective.
Less effective because of lack of clarity and conception.
Yes.
And therefore, I've been meditating in a class a lot this morning. It was pretty heavy in the beginning, and I was really thinking about it. Our conceptions also govern our desires, or the
yes.
of our desires.
And then the one influences the other.
One influences the other. So I'm so a little confused, not confused, but I was wanting to hear more about if our conception is not proper, our desire also cannot be strong and deep. And therefore, it seems the reciprocation of giving or remaining would not be as complete.
Yes. So then, that's a statement, then what to do? Sadhusanga, in short. Take the association of those whose desires are more in line with Krishna's desires and are freed from the mundane desires and desiring in relation to Krishna. That can liberate one, free one from the lower quality of desire, the ones that cloud and obfuscate Krishna. Association. And part of that association is just hearing, or hearing and chanting in the association of such persons who are so disposed. So it's not just I need to associate with people that are so elevated I can barely even see them up there. It can be others who are like-minded and are engaged in hearing and chanting on topics of Krishna with sincerity. Krishna smiles upon that, and we receive from those exchanges with devotees wonderful realizations, like from the heart kind of realizations. And we're amazed at the realizations of others when we are having those kinds of exchanges. So our appreciation of them, as well as the realization impact upon our heart, it helps loving relationships, as we were discussing in the previous retreat. And as loving relationships increase, Krishna is pleased. And he reciprocates with enlightening the consciousness of both, removing the coverings and giving light, because he's pleased. He carries one. Just by taking up that which is pleasing to Krishna, he carries one closer to him. It's a mystical process. And it starts with just submission to the good instructions from qualified persons and acting accordingly from the heart, not just behavior, but acting with that inspiration. Gradually, the layers and layers and layers and so many layers of dust accumulated for years and years and lifetimes together becomes cleansed. I mean, if we could, just a thought, if we could put a pile of the dust cleansed through the course of this weekend in the middle of the floor and just look at it, go, wow. And what is it that we're doing? Just hearing and chanting and dancing and deity worship and little prasadam. And look at the piles of... And then there's piles more to go. Keep going. Just faithfully continuing on that path of cleansing. So then our conceptions become corrected or empowered, you know, lightened, adjusted according to, aligned with Krishna's conception. And then we can faithfully chant better, receive more like that. Gradual process. Something else? Yes?
Hare Krishna, thank you so much.
You're going to have to speak loud because there's people in the back that can't hear your soft voice.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
I can hear you.
Actually, related to your Buddhism question.
Related to the Buddhism question, this is a relay system.
Actually, when I was in New York, Rath Yatra, and that time one young man, American boy, he came to, and he took a book from other devotee, at least three books.
Yeah.
And then after that, he came to my book and asked him that question.
Was he the one with his mother?
No.
Okay. There was a South Indian, he kept make the rounds to everybody.
He was young American boy.
Okay.
In white body. So, but he was asking to me, what is your realization, how you came to Krishna consciousness? And before giving me and setting it to one Indian person, he jumped on and he told me, I will explain you how it works. And then he took a silent hand. And after that, he was talking. I was busy with the book distribution that time, so I heard something that you mentioned that time. And then that boy, he gave the book to the people I know in these books, and then he went with him. And so I was just feeling today that how that fortunate moment for you to read Prabhupada's book, and then how he was in different situations caught by other person, he has to read him the book.
So your question is how to think that one? How to understand what just happened? That's your question? Sangaya, sangat sanjayate kama. Kama proto sanjayate. So when the beginning of bhakti gets just sprouted, just started. There's one phrase, komala shraddha, or prakrita bhakta. One's faith is very soft. And if something that's an opposing point of view is presented, then bhakti collapses. It's likened to a plant or a tree that you're growing. You need to put a fence around it because animals or whatever may come and, you know. What was that? A leaf from the ceiling. There's no trees up there.
It's a big ball of dust.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, it's being cleansed from the heart.
Cheto darpana. Okay, so through that little association, he received fortune, and then through another association, he lost that. You know, he put aside that good fortune. It will never be lost. That little spiritual gain will not be lost. But that's what happened. That was your question. How to understand what happened? Association with someone whose faith is very soft and pliable got bamboozled. Okay? Anything else? Yes?
So you mentioned that as we chant, you know, we're wiping away the dust in the mirror in our heart. Obviously, the mood is important, and the intensity of chanting, the intensity of What are some key factors to success in this area? Increasing the elbow grease, making the chanting more effective.
Increasing the which rate? Cleansing rate?
Elbow grease.
Elbow grease.
Yeah. Cleansing more of this. Making it more effective. What are some secrets?
Well, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one song on the chanting of the holy name, faith. Faith is the price to pay to get the pure holy name. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means something like what's over here. This is what the holy name is. These are glories of the holy name. So it's the elbow grease. It's the same chanting, but with degrees of faith. Now, then there's this whole other topic of faith and reason, because, like, one morning walk conversation, Prajapati Prabhu, who was a disciple of Prabhupada, that was a theologian, Prabhupada called a theologian, before he was a devotee, he was a, you know, had a degree in theology. He was explaining that in Christianity there's an issue about faith and reason, just as Tamal Krishna Maharaj, in his, when he went back to do his, complete his undergraduate study, that was the theme that he wrote on, faith and reason, you know, purposefully to write a book on faith and reason. So faith is not to be blind. Faith is to be supported by or on the basis of scripture. But as Jai Jagannath was saying, according to our conceptions, we'll understand differently. And that's why we have, you know, different divisions of faith. The modes of nature are acting, and it's coloring our conceptions of, based upon reason, we then repose our faith. If this makes sense to me, or that makes sense to me, you know, I want those fire alarms, the car alarms, to stop at any cost. Just get them shut off. And that's my conception of, so the impersonal and voidistic conception, Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, are based upon frustration. Vitaraga bhaya krodha. Krodha, anger, frustration at material personalism has been so much misery for me. Let everything become void. It's born of frustration. That faith is born of frustration, because there isn't a knowledge of something higher. So one hears something higher, like this example, and then here one hears, oh, born of frustration, let's go there. Yes, let's go there. So reason and our reasoning capacity, influenced by the modes of nature and the conceptions that we carry, is going to determine our faith. So the solution for that one is that bind, or the prison house of the modes of nature and misconceptions, is association with those that don't have that conditioning. You know, they've gone beyond material conditioning. That's rare. Who has gone beyond material conditioning? Not just somebody that has reason and faith. Because everyone has their reason, everyone has their faith, and they also say they're right. And that's one of the frustrations of those that are searching, because everyone says, I've got the answer, and 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 they're all different answers. And then you're scratching your head, you know, which door do I walk through? What product out there in the spiritual marketplace do I take up? Which one is mine? Some say, whatever your thing is, do that one. You don't need a philosophy, just do your thing. Then Prabhupada says, And that's a philosophy. So if your philosophy is do your own thing, then please be quiet. Because that's your thing. And I'm not, you know, I've got my thing. Which is Krishna's thing. That's my thing. Anyway. The solution is association with that which is beyond the modes of nature, or guidance from those who are beyond the modes of nature. That's the solution. Wherever, however, that's the solution. However you come across that. And if one does come across that, that's one, such a person is greatly fortunate. That's Krishna's mercy. And they're the bearers of, or the instruments of, Krishna's mercy. So we look to our founder, Acharya. For all of us, for generations to come. Does that help you? Anything else? Okay. Looks like we're going to have a little break before the next session, which is nice, because we've got a tight schedule. So stay tuned for our 12 o'clock class with Badahari Prabhu. And whatever you'd like to do, we could just have a break, or we could have kirtan, or whatever you want to do. I know what Chai Jagannath wants to do. I can hear him singing already. What would you like? Huh? Okay. Jai Jagannath?
Is there arti?
It's going to be a silent arti. The door will be open and you won't hear the bell. Because they're making the offering now. Unless you want to... Jai Jagannath? Assume the position over here by the microphone. He's going to take a break. He'll be back. Soon. Coming attractions. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. Don't go anywhere. It's not break time yet. My mistake. There's supposed to be an integration exercise facilitated by Atmanivedana right now. So, please sit down. You don't get a break. You get an exercise.
I almost didn't come to you.
My mistake. Now, this is important. I mean, if you need to go somewhere, you go somewhere. But this is, the exercise is integrating what you just heard. Like, you know, taking it from out there and bringing it in here.
So to chant the holy name properly, we need to prepare ourselves. Because you can chant attentively or inattentively. You can chant with a proper understanding of why you're chanting or without it. So therefore, we're like the question and answer about having different, desiring Krishna, how that's affected by your conception of your relationship with Krishna and the holy name. This is so preparing to have the right desire, to have the right conception. This is essential to obtaining the goal. Otherwise, why should we chant if we... If we're not interested in obtaining the goal, then why are we doing it? So considering these things is important. Considering why you're doing something is important if you want to be successful at obtaining it. So the goal is to develop pure devotion to Krishna. Anyabhilashita shunyam gana kamadyanabhitam. And you engage in devotional service all the time, without any ulterior motivations. So who is the best person we can learn from about how to prepare ourselves to chant the holy name? Who knows? Srila Prabhupada Swami. provided the answer, Lord Chaitanya. So I'll just recite a few verses that I was provided from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, starting from verse 7 going through verse 9. So please hear attentively, it's beautiful. Lord Chaitanya thought, "My name is Vishvambar, one who maintains the entire universe. Its meaning will be actualized if I can fill the whole universe with love of God." Thinking in this way, he, Lord Chaitanya, accepted the duty of a planter and began to grow a garden in Navadvip. Thus, the Lord brought the desire tree of devotional service to this earth and became its gardener. He sowed the seed and sprinkled upon it the water of his will. So, I'm not a gardener. My wife is a little bit. But if you have soil and you put seeds in it and you just expect everything to happen just like magic, just pressing the button, dropping the seeds there, and everything will be fine, the results will be nothing like if you first become aware of the process of how to grow a plant and how to grow a plant that blooms wonderfully. And then to learn how to do it, and then to do it. So if you make the soil fertile, then you'll get a better plant and flowers and trees. You'll do better. So similarly, with our consciousness, if we want to prepare ourselves to chant properly, then we have to understand what's the means to chant properly, what's the goal, and then we have to put endeavor to do it, and we have to be committed to doing it. So, to prepare yourself to have the proper consciousness, we can hear from Queen Kunti, hear her prayer, and from that will be self-explanatory, and then I'll elaborate. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8, text 26. Chanmaishvarya Shuta Shibir Edamana Madapuman Naivarharat Yabidatum Vai. Sorry. Naivarhadya bidatum bai tvam akinchana gocharam. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you, meaning the Supreme Lord Krishna, with sincere feeling. Srila Prabhupada's purport, part of it. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth and education and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Possessions meaning not just things that you can put in your hand or you can claim as your assets, but also things like your beauty, your education, your reputation. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly. Oh, Govinda! Oh, Krishna! It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. This is Srila Prabhupada explaining. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. But there is a quality of such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. So, I think it's important to consider what does it mean to be humble and not puffed up. The Vaishnava's understanding of humility is not the same as that of an ordinary man. It's not the same definition that an ordinary man has. Humility. A devotee's understanding of humility is that his or her own self interest, independent of the Lord, independent of the Lord's interest, is unimportant. It's not that the devotee thinks, I'm unimportant, everything related to me is unimportant, so I put my head down and wallow in self-pity. It's that he thinks that his life, independent of the Lord, is without real meaning. And therefore, because the Lord is important, and everything connected to the Lord is important, including service to the Lord is important. And that means that if the Lord is important and service to the Lord is important, that means that an individual devotee, his own service to the Lord is important. It's very important because the service to the Lord is important. But one has to understand that my service to the Lord is important because it's service to the Lord, it's not mine. And in this way, a devotee who's humble cares very much about what he's doing and doesn't shrink in the face of opposition out of so-called humility. So, how to develop and cultivate that humility? Well, we're hearing about Sadhu Sangha, the association of devotees that come. Before that is faith, that the devotees have something very valuable. Through the association of devotees, one wants to engage in the activities that they do because what they're doing is more attractive than what would be doing outside of their association. And what do? They engage in bhajana kriya, which is the next stage after sadhu sangha. So we hear in the Bhagavatam there's 9 processes of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Advan, Nivedanam. The first two they're the first two in that list. Shravanam, Kirtanam, meaning hearing the glories of the Lord, and Kirtanam, chanting the glories of the Lord, are the most important also. And they highlight the activities of devotees who are in the line of disciplic succession, coming, following Lord Chaitanya. Shravanam Kirtanam. Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yajai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Sumedasa. In this age of Kali, the method for worshipping Lord Chaitanya, who is the avatar of Krishna in this age, for those who have some intelligence, is to chant the holy name of the Lord in what fashion? Well, yes. I was referring to one word in this verse. Thank you, though. So it's Sankirtan. So engaging in kirtan together with others. So that's the yuga dharma, or the duty of the living entity in this age. So by engaging in this sankirtan, in the association of devotees working hard for Krishna, this will develop your humility. This will enable you to chant the holy name more nicely and more nicely and very nicely. It's a wonderful process because it forces you to actually have real humility. Because actually when you chant amongst others, well, most people don't want to chant. So the only way to inspire them to chant is if you're Krishna conscious. And if you can see how the Lord is in their heart too, and then by your consciousness touching their heart deep into the recesses of their heart, beyond the false ego and the conceptions they have about why there's no reason to chant and it's not beneficial to them and it won't make them happy, but by your consciousness you can touch them and affect a change in their heart, and then they'll want to chant with you. Well, this forces you to have real humility. Real humility meaning you can see how they're also a devotee of the Lord. In fact, perhaps they're a devotee of the Lord more than you are. You've just already learned about Krishna consciousness that they haven't. So it forces you to be humble. And practically speaking, as my wife was suggesting, I explained, if you're out there sharing Krishna consciousness, so many people are uninterested. And it forces you to want to serve Krishna no matter what. Otherwise, you'll quit. So at the end of the day, after you work hard, like Jai Jagannath, he's going on teaching, bringing people on Sankirtan. This is, so many devotees are doing this. By engaging in this process, then at the end of the day, you just satisfy with your having worked hard. You go to sleep, you wake up the next day, and you're ready to chant intensely with the proper consciousness that you know you'll need to have to be able to go and spread the holy name to others the next day. And even if you don't go spread the holy names in person, then you understand my mission on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya is to help Srila Prabhupada spread love of God, which is exactly what we read in that first verse we recited, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya thought, one who maintained... My name is Vishwambar, one who maintains the entire universe. Its meaning will be actualized if I can fill the whole universe with love of God. So if we make our life and goal one with this mission of Lord Chaitanya, then in this way we'll have real humility, we'll realize our service, we'll realize Lord Chaitanya is important, service to Him is important, and our service to Him is important. And then we'll chant the holy name nicely. So now we can practice, we can, in a moment, we can chant together japa, and we'll recite some of Mangala Charana first, and think about the meaning of this, how we're praying to the Vaishnavas, we're praying to the Acharyas, we're praying to our Guru, to surrender ourselves to the lotus feet of the holy name. And then when we chant the holy name, we can chant with a desire to serve the holy name with our heart and our soul eternally. So if it's okay, we can recite this together.
Bear in mind,
yeah.
Our schedule is Vaidahari speaks at 12 o'clock.
So what? So
should just go quickly.
With Mangala Charana.
The whole, whatever else you're going to do is...
It's just Mangala Charana and japa.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So you can read along at the same time as I do, if you like. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Taitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam iham shi guru shri yuta padakamalam shi gurum vaishnavamscha shi rupam sagajatam sagana raghunatandritam tam sajivam Sadvitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaja Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Namine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Dayataya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Mayur Rudrala Premadya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gora Kuruna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravanish Shimurtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Viruda Pasiranta Dvantaharine Namo Gora Kishoraya Sakshai Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasambode Padambhujaya Te Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gora Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gora Virbhava Bhumeswam Nirdeshta Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Sri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratishe Namaha Panchatatpatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Saktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Jayatam Sarato Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarvasva Padam Bojo Radha Madana Mohano Divyad Vridharananya Kalpadrumada Shrimad Ratnagara Simasanasto Shrimad Radha Shila Govinda Devo Pristali Visevyamano Smarami Shriman Rasa Rasa Rambi Pamsivata Tatastita Karshan Vino Svanar Gopir Gopinata Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Krishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now we can chant japa just for a short time because time is running out. And if you can all try to chant with full attention, with understanding the meaning, and with your heart. And then think about afterwards how the quality of that chanting and how you would like to chant that way always. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So I hope, please take the experience with you. And now we'll have Bhadahari giving the next class.